Sometimes you got to be willing to trade one good for another, you know? Charles Fillmore, towards the end of his life, was teaching a class. Charles Fillmore is the co-founder of our Unity movement. He was teaching a class one day, and he was expounding about some spiritual truth. And a guy in the front row raised his hand and said, "Mr. Fillmore, what you're saying in the book is completely different than what you're saying now." And Charles Fillmore said, "Let me take a look at that book." And he read it, he went, "Oh, I don't believe this anymore. Everybody, take your pen, cross it off, and write this in." That afternoon, he went to the publishing department and said, "Change all the books to reflect this." Charles Fillmore knew you got to change your mind once in a while. That as you begin to grow and reflect on spiritual truth, you do change. You do take a new idea, a new thought, a new way of looking at it. And he was never afraid to say, "This is different. I now believe this. This was the old way of thinking, and this is the new right now." It's been over 65 years since Mr. Fillmore was on the planet, and I believe that today, if he were here, he would be changing a whole lot of his teachings. He would be clarifying and dropping a number of things that we find in his book today. Unfortunately, his teachings are considered to be untouchable these days by the editorial department at Unity Village. None of his books are allowed to be edited or clarified for the purposes that we're looking for, let alone to be corrected for things we know are not true anymore, let alone for updating the late 19th century language that they used back then. Sometimes Mr. Fillmore's books are rather difficult to get through. Anybody try to read a Charles Fillmore book here? Yeah, Britt Hall says that when he has insomnia, the best way to go to sleep is to pick up a Charles Fillmore book. Unfortunately, that's quite true. Not that what he doesn't have to say is wonderful and powerful and terrific. It's the basis of what we teach here in Unity, but they need to be edited. They need to be brought up to date for a 21st century audience. But we who follow Mr. Fillmore and know of him know that he would fully agree with that. It's like, yeah, we gotta totally redo that. One of those very issues is the very identity that we consider is how do we consider ourselves to be Unity, those of us who are practitioners or students. You know, one charge leveled at Unity by the Orthodox branch of Christianity is that Unity is not a Christian church. And in fact, they are correct. We are not a Christian church. Unity School considers Unity to be a Christian movement, but this technically is incorrect. And as I said, we have a Unity page on Facebook, and I'm always being lovingly attacked in a Unity kind of way for stating this. A lot of ministers are very, very drawn and they're very stubborn about saying, "We are Christian and here's why." Well, Unity is not Christian because we do not follow the Nicene Creed. That is the straightforward answer that I have. We do not follow the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago by a group of Christian politicians back then called bishops who considered their point of view to be the only point of view that was valid. They were having arguments for decades with each other between different Christian philosophies of the time, around 200-300 or so AD, as to which belief of Jesus was the correct one to follow. The belief that Jesus was not God himself, but a very evolved soul who became the Christ was a very popular idea around 300 or so. But they were outmaneuvered, that group was outmaneuvered by a very crafty politician and bishop who believed that Jesus was God himself and that any other belief was evil and of the devil. So Jesus was God, left the universe to run 33 years by itself while God took on human form and then left. The Council of Bishops at Nicaea and the current belief of what Jesus was became the one and only acceptable idea for all Christians from that time forward, which was they decided that Jesus was the only Son of God, that Jesus was God himself, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and that Jesus rose 3 days after his death from the cross. Now, anybody here raised Episcopalian? First time I went to a church was in England. And everybody got up, they faced something, the cross, I think, and they affirmed this, right? You affirmed that, and you sat down, and it was very exciting, and had no idea what they were all doing or talking about. Then they got on with more singing, and it was quite interesting to see. So that became what it meant to be a Christian, that you had to believe these things, and if not, you could actually be put to death by the church. If you said anything contrary to this, it was anathema. It was an abomination, and therefore you were going to hell, no question. For hundreds of years, the Christian church has used its power to coerce, and again, if necessary, kill those who didn't conform to the view that God was Jesus and Jesus was God. They were interchangeable. That God was a foreboding, volatile, unstable man in the clouds waiting for you to muck it up. Just waiting for you, and you know who you are. And then once you did, bam, you were in hell forever. Making God a very insecure, very needy, very neurotic person. Who is this God? The most neurotic person I knew would never do this. And yet God was doing this, apparently. And there's been very little movement on the part of the orthodoxy to change this point of view. To see God in a new way, to see what Jesus was about in a new way. To have a different cosmology of the universe as a friendly, supportive, and loving place. They keep seeing that the universe is cold and dark and very, very ready for you to be thrown out. The power of the church depended on keeping its sinners guilty to keep them coming back. The church mandated that you had to show up at least once a week for Mass or else you were going to hell. Take away guilt and they wouldn't come back, was the reasoning. Now, while we in Unity of New York see that there is much good about Christianity that has been brought to the planet, has brought a lot of healing and a lot of joy and a lot of hope, we are not considered to be a part of the Christian philosophy that the Apostle Paul affirmed and continued through the council that codified the Nicene Creed that evolved into a fixed philosophy of original sin. There is no talk about original sin in the beginning of the Bible. That is not, you won't find that anywhere in Jewish philosophy. That was created many, many hundreds of years later after Jesus left the planet. We also see nothing in the Bible about the evil nature of humankind, and we certainly don't see that God demanded a sacrifice of his son on the cross. That is not in the Bible. That is a creation that we find much, much later. Unity considers itself to be a spiritual philosophy that teaches how to have a successful, healthy, joyful life. We know that our first basic teaching is God is good. God is absolute good. God is not an angry, alcoholic type father. That is not what we see God as at all. God is creative principle, the one and only power, as we heard in our opening statement. And therefore, absolute good, capital G, meaning the fullness of all that life is. And number two, we believe that since God is good, we, as God's creations, are inherently good. You have been created out of original blessing, not original sin. There's no such thing as original sin. That's a concept that was made up by a group of men who were very bored one day. But it has nothing to do with you and your life. You are not bad, you are not evil, you are not sinful by nature because your nature is holy. Your nature is God, is spirit. We're spiritual beings having a human journey to the realization of this truth. The truth is God does not create junk. You are not defective. You don't have character flaws. I love 12-step. I think 12-step does such a great job. The recovery movement is so powerful. But I have to agree with that one statement. There are no character defects in children of God. It's a defective thought, that's all. We're just holding a defective thought, an incorrect thought about who and what we are. But you yourself have no defects. You're perfect as you are. God can only create what God is, perfection and good, which is what you are. You are a powerful divine artist of life. You are here to create your life and to create a good one. With all the powers that God has implanted within you, which is God itself. This is the basics teachings of Jesus himself, who did not demand that anybody join the Jesus fan club. This is not a requirement. Jesus said, don't worship me. This is not about me. This is about you and your journey. I'm here to reveal what the truth is. He said, don't call me good. You are the light of the world. You are God's. What I do, you will do greater when you know your own oneness. What you're seeing is me doing God's work. He was very clear about who was who and who was what. He wasn't calling himself God. He called himself Son of Man. He said, I'm here. I am one of you. And I had the realization, which you can have as well. So while we aren't Christian, we are followers of the great teacher, the rabbi, the elder brother and friend, Jesus the Christ, who was not Christian either. We do realize that, yes? Jesus was not Christian, he was Jewish. He was very clearly Jewish in everything that he did, everything he taught was straight out of Deuteronomy. What a surprise! It's not a surprise if you read the scripture. If you listen to what people are saying who want to color things in their own way, you will get a different version than what you read in the scripture. So we are a spiritual philosophy based on the Christ teachings that we are powerful, that we are divine, that we are awesome creatures of light, life, love, joy, and all good. That is unity in a nutshell. You are one with God, and therefore you have the power to create your life exactly the way you want it. And we have these tools that can show you how that can happen. So when I hear of a vengeful reactionary religionist talking about their vengeful God, I wonder if they've ever actually sat down and read everything that Jesus had to say about who and what God is. As a child, I'm sure a lot of people here also were raised in this Orthodox milieu. I was raised in a Baptist church. To love and fear God at the same time. Impossible. You can't love and fear at the same time. Have you ever tried that? Love and fear? Get back to that alcoholic father? Or anybody who was abusive or a little off in your family? For the longest time, I was terrified of God. I didn't know what God wanted of me. All I knew was I just needed to be quiet and not make any waves. I didn't love God. I was afraid of God. I felt as if I had to do something. I was trying to figure out to pacify this deranged nut who was ready to throw me into hell for any moment. For what? I wasn't sure. I was 6 years old. I couldn't think what I'd done to want to make God throw me into hell. But I kept hearing in Sunday school, I was born a sinner, and I have to ask God for forgiveness, and I couldn't figure out what to forgive for what. I took a quarter out of my grandmother's purse. Okay, forgive me. Now what? Now what? Well, then I heard, well, actually, you killed his son. I said, I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with that. You killed him. I kept hearing that over and over and over. I killed Jesus. I felt so bad about that. I felt such guilt in my family anyway. There's one more. Why not? And then a wonderful metaphysical type Baptist minister who was in his 20s came to the church. And all of a sudden, things fell into place. He said, God loves you. That's it. God loves you. God wasn't out to get you. All God cared about is your well-being, he said, along with every other child on the planet, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, whatever. Of course, with such a wonderful universal philosophy, they canned him about a year after he got there. But I'll never forget him and what he did for me, for sparking the truth. It's interesting that even for some of us who have been in the metaphysical movement for a while, at times of crisis, we can revert back to that old God. God is mad. I must have done something. Or if we've been in unity for quite a while, we begin to change the words a bit and say, I must have done something that caused this awful thing to happen. Or, this is my karma for doing whatever it is that I did that I don't know what it is I did. Insane. That's crazy. We have to have a new and radical understanding of God if we're going to progress into a new way of living our lives that works all the time. It isn't God who is messing your life up. It's your concept of God that's messing your life up. It's what you think about the universe and how it runs and your place in it that determines whether your life is successful or not. God doesn't have anything. God's always the energy moving forth within you. What am I blocking? What am I blocking of God that is getting in the way of having the life that I came to have? Meister Eckhart in the 12th century wrote, "I pray God to rid me of God. I pray God to rid me of God." Again, in other words, get rid of that small-minded, tiny little cubicle I put God in. God is too big, too broad to reduce. I don't even like the word God. I'm trying to come up with a new word for God. My board president in San Francisco called God Ralph. I said, "Why?" She said, it just makes it easier. Okay. I said, "I had a talk with Ralph the other day, and I think we should do this." I said, "Oh, yay, Ralph. Yay." If I really believe that God is divine life, my life would reflect that as a stronger body, as radiant health, as peace of mind, a vitality, regardless of whatever age I am, or any other so-called limitation of this human being. And we're going to get into that deeper at the workshop this afternoon, how to really let that go and let yourself be this wonderful healing channel for your own life and for others. If I really believe that God was abundant good, my life would begin to reflect that as more prosperity, as a greater flow of good flowing forth, rather than as a belief of there's only so much to go around, and why don't I have more at the end of the month? I guess God doesn't love me. Again, we get back to that old version of God who seems to be withholding. God is not withholding anything. If I really believe that God was all good, then this good would begin to show up in my life. And if you've been doing this work at all, you see it does work. The more I can let go of the old belief that God is holding back anything and God is all, I begin to see that in my life day after day, year after year. It's an unfolding process. But I need to see it unfolding in my life, and I need to keep my joy lifted up so this joy will help to propel it forward into my life. I want you to think for just a moment, how happy are you? How filled with joy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? How successful are you in life? Somebody I know had a callback for a commercial. Wondering, oh my gosh, am I going to get it? Am I not going to get it? What's going to happen? The callback is a great success. You've been called back because they think you're talented. They think you've got something that they want. Whether you get it or not really and truly is immaterial. Because if you've done a good job, you're a success. You did what you needed to do. And however way they need to go is however they're going to go. It has nothing to do with you. So the truth is, if a job is yours, if a part is yours, if a commercial is yours, nobody can take it away from you. If it isn't yours, there's nothing you can do to get it. So let it go. Your good is assured. And if you're holding on resentment for not getting something that wasn't yours to begin with, you're not ready for the new good coming. Let it go and let God do the work of bringing forth your success. God is truly at work at all times. Is your life flowing with joy? If your life is joyful, the good is showing up because you're not trying to make it happen. Are you excited about what's coming forth in your life? And if you're not, why not? What do you need to do to change that? What idea, what belief do you need to shift so God can do the work? God can only do what you allow God to do. Again, God's not a person forcing you to do anything. God's just the energy of all life. I'm ready when you are. Give me permission and let's go to work. Let's do this. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might and or mind," depending on the translation, "and your neighbor as yourself." He didn't say, "You should go away and do some serious thinking about God, then do a 30-page report and come back and talk to me." No, he just said, "Love now and that'll do the work." Open your heart to love and watch it happen almost immediately or immediately. If you're open and receptive to it. Jesus always taught to love, forgive, rejoice. heal, be the light, create, be the peacemaker, be a child of God, radiating all over the place. When you do that, you're drawing forth everything the universe has to offer. These are the signs of being immersed in the wisdom and love of God, and these qualities do not have their origins in your head. These are not thought processes that we are drawing. These are heart, energy, life, joyful God ideas that emanate from here, not from here. There's a culture in Africa that uses a gesture when they're discussing an issue. They'll pat their heart and say, "I think so-and-so," or "I think I understand right from here." "Now, let me think about this." They go, "Let me think about this. Right here, this is where they're thinking from." Even scientists are discovering that we don't just think with our head, we think with every part of our consciousness. Every part of our being is involved in the process of bringing these ideas forth. Anybody ever have anything like Rolfing or deep tissue massage? They can sometimes hit an area. All of a sudden, I had a friend who was getting Rolfed in her leg, and this grief just came forth. She said, "I just burst into tears. I was blubbering all over the place. I was screaming." And the Rolfer's just going, "La, la, 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 la." Yeah, so what else is new? You know, all Rolfers, all people who do body work know that you can touch a place, and all of a sudden, they'll be laughing, they'll be crying, they'll be talking, because the emotions have been released. We are one big template of emotions that we have stored away because we hadn't dealt with it. So your grief may be stored in your calf. Your joy may be stored in your butt. Who knows? Who knows where you're putting your fears and your desires and your good and things you just don't even want to think about anymore. Let it go. Let it go and let God flow forth. A friend of mine, again, she said, "I couldn't believe that when I was getting this body work, I had such amazing healing. I released something I'd been holding on to for 20 years. Find a way to let go of what's holding you back. How can we fully know this God in our lives so that our joy can be healthy and joyful and fulfilled in a way that we've never had before? As I mentioned, we have to go to the heart. And the most powerful way that we know in unity to do that is to go into meditation, to get quiet, to listen to our heart. Some people say, "You know, I can't meditate. I just can't do that." Then do a walking meditation. Put music on. Do whatever brings you joy and lifts you up. That is a way for you to meditate. Find what works for you, but don't just dismiss it out of hand. Go to the park. If you're a nature person, go to the park. Go to the beach. Go somewhere. I used to do my best meditation driving around San Francisco when I lived there. My best talks would come, and I would jot them down because I was letting go of, how am I going to do this? What's going to happen? What do I need to talk about Sunday? Just let it go and just enjoy the view and let God do the work while you're having fun, while you're letting go in other ways. The prodigal son knew in his heart what he had to do long before his brain realized it. But he had to make a decision, a heartfelt decision, before the father could help him. God was right there. The father was right there waiting for him, but he was the one who had to come to himself in the heart, say, I can go home. I can go to the father and say, "Here I am." A Course in Miracles says, "God is no enemy to you. He has no more than that he hears you call him friend." Moses, it was said, went to the tent when they were on their journey, and he talked to God as he was talking to a friend. Open your heart up to the universe. Let it go. People say, "Oh, in unity, we don't talk to God." It's like, I do. If I have something I need to work out, let's just talk it out. Say, "Okay, God, let's talk about this." You do what you need to do at any one moment. There is no correct or incorrect way of doing this. It's just about opening yourself up. Know that you're having a human experience, and sometimes you just got to talk. Even if the dog is there, talk to the God and the dog. And just do what you need to do to release what you've been holding back. So we go to God. We go within and ask the friend, the divine friend within, for whatever it is that we desire, knowing it has never been withheld. To ask means to declare, to accept, to know, to get clear within ourselves what this good is. If you want to find the right and perfect mate, quit listening to people tell you you can't find a mate in New York City. They couldn't find a mate in New York City because other people told them they couldn't find a mate who told them they couldn't find a mate. You can find a mate there. If the mate is waiting for you, affirm and know that you are being led to each other. The right and perfect apartment is waiting for you. The right and perfect job is waiting for you. The right and perfect role on Broadway is waiting for you. Whatever it is you desire, the universe desired it first. So let go of the idea that you have to climb some big mountain to get it. Just let go and let it be revealed. So I invite you to close your eyes and breathe into your heart. I can keep talking about this forever, but it's only you and your God within who can reveal this as your truth. So breathe into your heart. Let go of any doubt, any fear, any worry. See God at work in your body. Feel the power of God radiating from your heart like a light. See your soul shining forth into your home, your work, your free time, doing the activity you love to do. See it at work in your family and your friends. When you see God everywhere, God's power and joy are accessible to you at that very moment. You're a child of God. You get to call it, and it's here right now. The truth about God is it's right there within you and is ready at all times to bring about your health, your prosperity, your right mate, your right home, everything you've ever dreamed and more. Our job is to see that as true. So breathe in. Let go. Be willing to become a child of God, full of wonder, full of love, full of joy, full of anticipation, that the best is coming into your life right now. And we do this by letting go and beginning with our meditation song, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Know the truth and let God reveal it within you. Sing it one more time, just a little quieter. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. Let go. Quit trying to do this thing called life by yourself. It hasn't really worked that well because we're not calling upon the power that created us, sustains us, moves us forward. The power called Spirit, divine life, divine joy. Whatever name you want to give, it doesn't matter. The fullness of love and wisdom are moving from your heart, shining its light into your body, into your arms, your legs, your hands, your feet, into your throat, into your head. Filling you with light, power, wholeness, wisdom, love, all good. There's nothing missing from this light. It's the very stuff of life itself. Just be with it for a moment. Don't think you have to do anything.
Just be. Be aware of your oneness with God. Your identity as a powerful spiritual being in these human bodies for a while. Your true nature is to love. Your true nature is to heal. Your true nature is to simply be the joy that you were created as. When we look at a situation and determine that it needs to be changed, too often we try to use our brains or our five senses to make sense of it. It doesn't work. The only solution, the only answer is God within. Your healing happens when you let go and affirm God is my healing life. God is my healing life. I am whole and strong. Know that truth. God is my healing life. I am whole and strong. Let that take hold. Don't try to argue with it. Don't try to figure it out. Simply let it be. Let the truth be. Abundance is yours as a child of God. It isn't up to you to figure out how to get it. It's already here. My work is to say thank you and watch it flow. Joy, gratitude, enthusiasm open up the floodgates of prosperity. And I am a prosperous being. The love of God prospers me now. Let that be your truth today, this evening, the rest of the week, the rest of your life. The love of God prospers me now. Breathe that in. Let the truth take hold in your heart. Love, life, joy, peace of mind, freedom, all divine ideas of spirit waiting and longing to move through you and into your life, into your world. Today I give permission to God to move forth so my life can be the one that I came here to live. There is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God the good, period. Breathe into your heart and in the quiet, let Spirit reveal this to be your truth. God and I are one. Be still and know that I am God. All it takes is one brief moment to know the truth. Let that truth take hold. There is no time in spirit. I know that God is here. God is at work. And that my life works perfectly, joyfully, powerfully. I let go and know there's only one power, one presence. God the good. And so it is.